happens on occasion that someone will come up to me and say something like, "Oh, Father, it must be so hard being a priest. There are so many difficult things that you deal with." Then, from there, it usually is one of two things that they say. It could be this: "You are around a lot of death and grieving, Father. I've noticed how many funerals you have, and I just have to imagine how difficult that is, that you're always dealing with people who are dying and families who are sad, and that must be very tough for you." Or the other thing they say is, "Hearing confessions must be really tough, Father. Knowing all these sins that people commit, and it must be a great weight placed on your shoulders. That must be very hard to be a priest and hear confessions all the time." The truth is that neither funerals nor confessions are that difficult for me. In fact, it's quite the opposite. They often give me great joy and peace in my life as a priest. The reason is this: we know that death is not the end. We have a Savior who died, destroyed death, so that death need not be feared, but actually seen as a path to the next life. And being able to be with people in those vulnerable moments where they are grieving the death of a loved one is a great opportunity for them to grow deeper in relationship with the Lord, because they need Him more than ever. Dealing with funerals and families that are grieving is actually a great joy of my priesthood, and it gives me a lot of peace knowing that I'm helping people grow closer to the Lord and helping those people who have died, especially through the funeral ritual, mass that is offered for them, to hopefully see God face to face and be welcomed into the heavenly kingdom. Confessions, likewise. People sometimes think, "Wow, that must be really hard. Such evil that you hear, the sins that people confess. What the heck, Father? How do you do it?" But in fact, it's such a joy to hear people confess their sins. Why? Because they're coming back to the Lord. How good this is. When people come to confession, it's not a glorification of sin. It's saying, "I need Jesus." And there's nothing better being a priest and being with people in those moments where they turn back to the Lord and acknowledge how much they need Him. No, funerals and confessions are actually a great joy in my priesthood. They give me great peace knowing the ministry that I can offer to people in both those areas. If there's anything in priesthood that does weigh on me as a priest and makes my heart heavy, it's dealing with what the Lord speaks about today in the gospel: divorce and remarriage. This is painful for me because I see the great pain in others' lives who come to me and talk about it. And indeed, I, like probably all of you here, are not untouched by the reality of divorce and remarriage. You may even have someone in your family, certainly if not your family, a close friend, that this has affected. And it's painful. It's also painful for me because I think there are great misunderstandings about what the church says and what annulments really are. We need to start, though, as we do with any moral teaching, on what does the Lord say about it? What do we hear from the Lord? He addresses it today. "Whoever divorces and marries another commits adultery." So the first thing that we need to get straight about this is there's no question about why can't the church let me marry who I want to? Because when we talk like that, we're making a presumption that the church has more power than the Lord. And we don't. The church does not. No bishop, no priest, no deacon, not even the Pope himself, has more power than the Lord. And the church doesn't claim it. Therefore, the Lord says, if someone divorces and remarries, they commit adultery. The church can't do anything about that. The next question, though, is this: well, okay, Father, I see that. Maybe I didn't know that Jesus said that because I hadn't heard that before. But, like, we talk about confession all the time. Jesus preaches mercy and forgiveness, and you yourself preach about confession a lot and talk about the great mercy God has for us. So what's with this? Like, why can't this be forgiven? Why is it that everything else can, but this? Very good question. So we first need to deal with, what is the sin we're talking about? Well, the sin we're talking about, as Jesus makes it very clear, is adultery. Yes, adultery can be forgiven. Absolutely it can. But we need to remember that the sacraments are not magic. And so we can't just say, okay, I'm going to say whatever I want, therefore it's forgiven. There's requirements of us. Why? Because the Lord has requirements of us. Number one, we need to be sorry for our sin. The Lord's not going to forgive us something that we're not sorry for. Secondly, we need to ask for the forgiveness. And then there's the third thing. And the third thing is why this is such a difficult problem for us. The third thing is we have to have a firm resolve not to sin again. Jesus gives us these requirements. We see it in the Gospels. And this third one, he says every single time that he forgives someone, I forgive you. Now go and sin no more. So the question isn't, why can't adultery be forgiven? Because it can. The problem is, when we get legally married again to someone, we cannot have a firm resolve not to sin again in the means of adultery, because we're living in that marriage. We're living in that legal bond. And so that's a very difficult thing. So we need to ask, okay, well, what can be done? What can we do? I think this is where we need to take actually a look at annulments and understand what they actually are. Because there's so much misunderstanding about them that we place ourselves in a place where we just have this wall up between us and God and the church. Because we believe we know something, and so it's important to understand what annulments actually are. If no human being can be separated, what God has joined together, as Jesus tells us, we might ask the question, well, how can annulments even be? Isn't this what you just said the church can't do, Father? Didn't you just say that the church can't go above what the Lord says? So let's take a look at annulments. Annulment is not really the best word. It's a bad translation from the Latin. It actually means a declaration of nullity, okay? So annulment makes it sound like the church is making null which was once valid, and the church can't do that because the church cannot make something invalid which the Lord made valid. In other words, what's happening is the church is looking at to see, is it the case that a valid sacramental bond took place or not? Because, see, the church presumes that you were ready. The church presumes that you understood what marriage was, and the church presumes that you meant the vows that you said and exchanged with your spouse at the time of your marriage. The church presumes all of these things are there. And so when we take a look at an annulment, it really is a court case. It really is a trial, looking at all the evidence to see if there's evidence to the contrary that one of those things wasn't there. That perhaps you didn't understand the nature of marriage. Perhaps you went in saying, well, I'm only going to marry this man if this thing changes. And so you went in not fully free. You didn't go in totally. You didn't go in with your whole heart, soul, mind, and strength as the Lord asks us to. And so the church is not looking to say, now it's invalid when it was once valid. But is there something there that in fact there was never a valid sacramental bond to begin with? Annulments are another piece of the Lord's mercy that he gives to the church. To take a look and see, is there a way that this marriage was not, in fact, valid from the beginning? Now, it's important to distinguish between validity, which has to do with the sacrament, and what legal marriage is. Annulments have nothing to do with the legal status of anything, including children. It is not a coincidence that after the Lord gives a very difficult teaching on divorce and remarriage, that he speaks about loving children. Children are always, always a blessing from God, regardless if your marriage ends in divorce or not. Children could not come into the world without the Lord willing them. Your children are good, and they are loved by God and loved by His church. Finally, a word on divorce. The church, of course, does not encourage divorce, but she also does not completely condemn divorce either. Sometimes there are serious enough reasons in a marriage that this has to happen. Remember, divorce isn't the sin the Lord speaks of. It's divorce and being remarried. Being divorced does not keep you from receiving the sacraments. Go to confession like everybody else should. Go to communion to receive our Lord in the Eucharist. Speak with me or Father Charlie. We want to bring healing to your life. As a priest, I've worked with many couples, many individuals seeking annulments, and it can certainly be very painful to relive memories that have gone on in your life. But the Lord wants to bring you to a place of healing and wholeness. Please, if you are currently in a situation where you or your spouse has been divorced and remarried, come talk to me. Come talk with Father Charlie. In the meantime, please continue worshiping here with us at St. Joseph's. Remember, the obligation for Sunday Mass, the obligation is to worship God. It is not an obligation to receive communion. The Lord knows your heart, and He knows that you long for Him. He will sustain you. He will give you what you need, privately in the depths of your heart. The Lord wants you. And He wants your healing, and He wants your fullness. The Lord desires good for you. He loves you. The annulment process can be part of that healing love that the Lord desires to give you. Trust in Him. Go to Him. The Lord is here for you.